Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome, Rugby Rant fans. This is episode 171. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. Yep. Next level rugby's Ryan Ginty is here. You've seen him on the show before. He's helped produce some of our shows before. You've obviously seen, a lot of stuff his company have produced. Ryan, thanks for coming on,
bro. It's courtesy of Ginty that we had a pregame show through 3 hours up to the final last year in July. So thank him for that coverage.
Yeah, it was, that was fun. That was, this time we didn't have to sneak into the MLR final like we had to do when we were in New Jersey. And, we didn't get media passes, but yet somehow had the commissioner on for 25 minutes and both owners on a live show, and then get to do it all again at SeatGeek at home field advantage here for me and Rob. So we'll see what we got to do. Maybe we'll make it out to San Diego for August 4th. And, I've got some new toys to drop on that. That'll make my job a lot easier and your job, if we do that again, a lot easier as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, the big guy won't be going to Snapdragon. Just a little too thin right now. I will be going to D.C. when the Eagles take on Scotland. That's my one rugby trip for the year. I got a new baby, so it's tough, man. Formula's a friggin' expensive, dude.
Crazy weekend. Congratulations. It's the weekend of my anniversary, so I just have to commit to taking my wife with me and then spending stupid amounts of money on dinners and nice nights out with her. But not that I don't enjoy that. Love you, babe.
Yeah. She's a good sport. I mean, I see her everywhere. I mean, she likes the rugby. Oh, yeah. So that's pretty easy. And Scott, I don't know, man. Like, you might have to make it if your iron workers are in the final this year, though.
You're a funny guy.
Ooh, wow.
What's the record of the Chicago Hounds against the New York Iron Workers? Own one?
Hey, I'm a Free Jacks fan, buddy.
Yeah, he's gonna jump into his Connecticut roots. Yeah, I'm
Free Jacks.
Conveniently.
I'm exit 52 on 95, so technically I'm a New England fan.
I'm like 72, to be honest. Like, I'm 72. I'm basically in Rhode Island, all right, man?
Rhode Island. Once you're past Clinton Corners, the premium outlets, it's all Red Sox and Bruins and shit.
Yeah.
But gotta love it. And thank you. Thanks, Ginty. Appreciate it. And Hammer already promised me, and Jen's going to be pissed off, that I'm going with Hammer next year when the Hounds play NOLA in NOLA. I will be his date. Not Jen. Sorry, Mrs. Hammer. But it's funny because this year again, last year I crashed Mother's Day, poor Jen Hammerschmidt. Mm-hmm. And then this year he's ruining the anniversary by going out to San Diego.
Hey, San Diego is good for her too. Let's not get that twisted.
No, she'd enjoy it. Somebody had to foot the bill for me. I think I don't know that I could totally sell her on both of us doing it. We spent gobs of money in NOLA, man. We got down to New Orleans this year and had a great time.
That's awesome. But real quick, we're going to go right to our round the pitch. All right, Ry, why don't you kick us off?
All right, I'll start off repping my Navy rugby here. Let's go service academies. Had the D1 college rugby Elite Eight leading into the Final Four. Good round of rugby. Ones and two ones twos, threes, and fours all made it on each side of the bracket. So the seeding was right, and the seeding was so right and predictable that all the top seeds ended up winning. I saw St. Mary's beating Cal 34-16. That is a big California rivalry right there. That's one that we love to see. That's been going on for as long as I can remember college rugby. So that's awesome that that's still alive and well. And now that St. Mary's is, you know, besting Cal on a regular basis, that's awesome. BYU and Central Washington, BYU coming out on top, you know, they are definitely returned as a dominant powerhouse to this D1A college rugby scene in 15. Central Washington, you know, making a resurgence lately, but just not enough to get by that the BYU side. Those guys coming out there crushing it. Lindenwood Life, sorry, Hammer, but Lindenwood was not able to best Life this year. 25-10. You know, you can't win every year, right? Like, you know, they should just maybe play some sevens and maybe win.
That's what they're good at, man. I'll just take 1 year.
Yeah. And then, you know, Navy, Arkansas State. I mean, Navy's just been absolutely wide out this year. I think they've lost one game in the last 2 years. Really great coaching staff there. And, you know, Service Academy. So, of course, I've got to pull for the Service Academies. I mean, they put up 57 points on Arkansas State. 57-5. So that was a pretty thorough beating, which leaves Navy Life on one side of the bracket, which is going to be – that'll be a game to watch. Make sure you check it out. And then St. Mary's BYU, that'll be another match that used to be like an iconic match that's now kind of coming back with both those teams. BYU coming back to relevance at the top of the game. I mean, they've always been relevant, but now they're relevant again at the Final Four. And so that's the men, but then for the women, I mean, you look at that D1 Elite matchup that went on late last night, Lindenwood versus Life, and wow, what a game. Ended up 44-41. It was a back and forth affair with Lindenwood coming back in the waning moments to tie the game 41-41, but then they couldn't get it done. A clearing kick put Life in a good end of the field. They forced a penalty, and then Nina Mason, who has been lights out since a freshman, Doylestown rugby native coming up out of that program in Pennsylvania, comes in, you know, ice cold veins, nails the penalty, wins the game in the national championship for Life. So kudos to Life and Rish Chadwick, who just went over there like 2 years ago, took over the reins of that program when Ross left to go to Brown, now has a national championship. And what an amazing game. If you got a chance to watch, it was lights out. Tafuna from Lindenwood had four tries. And then if you look at the stat sheets for Life, it was a bunch of names across it. So great matchup. That's what I got. College rugby, the 15 season, spring 15 season is winding down. You know, it is done for D1 Elite. Now we're about to get all into sevens, which I think we might talk about a little bit later. But that's your wrap up there for the 15s game and what happened this past weekend.
Maybe this goes without saying, but are we picking Navy to repeat this year? I mean, they should handle Life, I would think, but tough matchup. St. Mary's is playing well this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could say they'd handle Life. I mean, I'd like to see them handle Life, but I mean, I wouldn't count out any Life team anytime that they play in a Final Four. But yeah, no, I mean, you could see St. Mary's, Navy. That's who I have in my final, St. Mary's versus Navy, which will be your one seeds playing off against each other. If you're a betting man, you're not making much money on that, but like that's the teams that should be there. But I mean, that'll be exciting to see, and that'll all go down May 4th for that championship match. And next weekend, April 20th, you'll have those other Final Four matches up right. That you can watch.
Nice. Rob, what do you got for our Around the Pitch topic this week?
Well, I'm going to throw a shout out to my two favorite JPs. JP Duplessis, 50 caps for the No Gold. He is number 64 of the gold. Got his first cap with the gold on the 21st of March in 2021 versus Old Glory. Started, of course, in the MLR in 2018 with San Diego Legion. He and his wife, Chloe, and their kids have made New Orleans home, and he's really doing a lot of good things in the North Shore, developing youth rugby up there north of Lake Pontchartrain. So it's good to see. And I want to throw a shout out to JP Eloff and his wife Kayla and son Jet. Jet has a new baby brother named Cruz. So congratulations to JP. He's out of rugby and he's a working man supporting that family. But it's good to see that his family's growing. He's a heck of a man. His wife, Kayla, is an absolute princess, just a wonderful lady. So congratulations to them.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'm going on the next one here. So we're talking about Pacific Fours. We're actually going to have our next episode, 172, is the topic's going to be Pacific Fours. And we're looking to have Wendy Young and TJ Olson on, as well as MLR Stats himself, James Dealey. But they came out with the USA Eagles player pool. Obviously, some familiar faces, Charlie Jacoby, Gabby Quaterna, Tess Fury, Kate Zachary, Hope Rogers, you know, Rachel Johnson, Olivia Ortiz, you know, a lot of the women you've seen previously in that match against South Africa. You know, it's going to be one of those things where leading up to this event, we're super excited. You know, that first match against Canada, April 28th, it's going to be a good one. Another match I wish I could go to. It seems like all the matches I wanted to go to this season are coming up. And unfortunately, I can't go, but again, I'm going to be there front row against Scotland. But, yeah, also, check out the XV Foundation silent auction. Their silent auction is starting, I believe, when this show airs, and every penny raised will go towards supporting the amazing women's, team for the upcoming Pacific Four series. It's unfortunate that they have to fundraise so much to go to these things, but we, as rugby players and fans, can help them get there and you know, help them with some of the cost to make sure that we stay in that tier one on the women's side. So look out for that silent auction. I'm going to see what's out there, not tell my wife I'm bidding on things because she doesn't like when I buy rugby things. As a matter of fact, shout out Down Stanford. Down was getting rid of a bunch of stuff in his garage, and he had a nice pair of, I think it was the 97 cup. It might've been 91, pants, prop size too. I could actually fit these rugby pants, all autographed and everything like that. So it was cool, you know, shout out to Down for doing that. But yeah, my wife has since laid down the hammer, so to speak, and like no more rugby gear. So Ryan, what do you got next, brother?
Well, I'd just like to say rest in peace, the South Stands and Hong Kong Sevens. We had what was one of the best events, Seven Stops events ever put together in Hong Kong. Held its last event in, I forget the name of the stadium there, but it is iconic. So iconic, I had briefly thought about buying plane tickets to go to Hong Kong to see this event. And then I looked at the price of the flights and I said, there ain't no way I'm swinging that. But I want to shout out, big shout out to our women playing in the cup finals, doing a great job beating France in the semifinals. You know, had a tough match against the best side in the world, arguably, right now, New Zealand. But like 36-7 loss in the finals. But I tell you what, man, to lose in the finals in that tournament and play the way that they played this weekend gives you a lot of hope moving forward into France this summer. You know, we should medal in the women. Like, we should medal. The men, maybe we could medal. Like, I'm not confident saying that, but like we need a medal for this women's team. I think they can do it. Hong Kong Seven showed that we have firepower. We've got the stars. Like, let's just hope that we can get into that event, you know, everybody healthy. And then, you know, we just back the ladies and just like bring home some medals and the men too. But like, let's be real here. Like, you know, our women could win the gold.
Additive. Absolutely. I think they're fourth right now in the HSBC standings. And, you know, I think it's pretty tight as far as the point differential there. So, Rob, what do you got for your next around the pitch topic?
Yeah. You know, while we're talking about international rugby, this one, I don't know how many people are really talking about it, but it is an interesting topic for sure. USA Rugby is going to implement the World Rugby Global Law variation on the tackle height by September 1st of 2024. The Midwest Rugby Union will be trialing this here in the spring friendlies, just the friendlies, not in the national championship series, but in the friendlies. So all this is being done to prepare clubs for that transition so that 2024-25 membership season, the tackle height's going to be lowered. What they're saying is that there's minimal change from the current law. Practically speaking, we'll have to see how it applies. And one of the other things that they're talking about is the fact that they're going to really pay attention to when the ball runner or carrier lowers their body height, that that's going to be taken into consideration. And that was one of my biggest concerns, you know, is it's one thing if you legislate in law the fact that ball carriers, when they drop, you know, their tackle height, that's an issue, you know, because then you have to get that much lower as a defensive player to get below the, you know, the sternum line. But we'll see how it applies. It'll be an interesting change. But, you know, kudos to USA Rugby and World Rugby for trying to make the game safer. It's obviously an issue. It's on the minds of a lot of people. And you know, they're trialing it. I like the fact USA Rugby waited to see what France had done, what England had done, what South Africa had done, and didn't feel the need to be at the forefront of the movement. You know, could wait to see how these unions, these other unions that are well steeped in rugby, could apply this law variation and work through it, pay attention and study it, and to make sure that they're doing best by all sides, not just for safety, but also to make sure, you know, that the integrity of the game is still intact.
Ooh. I think I'm just gonna play devil's advocate to this one right here. As you know, in echoing, you know, safety of the game and trying to make it a safer game, I'm all for it. But like, I just think one thing that you're gonna do now is that you're gonna put more stress on referees to get something that's gonna be very, very difficult to determine which is a high tackle, where the sternum line is on player A, where the sternum line is on player B. You know, right now, and if you're watching this, shut your mouth. Referees are already leaving our game in droves because they're just getting treated really bad. And now this puts them at possibly another spot to where, you know, they're another critical piece I just think it's going to be so hard for the referees to make accurate calls on this at all levels of the game. And I mean, what is a sternum level? Like, is it shoulders or is it pits? Is it
nipple line? I think is what they're defining it as, but
I mean, nipple line, know, man, whose nipples are where?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I, you know, Chandler Bing had a third nipple, but it was, you know, I don't disagree with you, Ryan. I think you got to be careful of, you know, the law of unintended consequences. And, you know, for me, TMO at the highest levels have brought an unintended consequence throughout the game. Right. Because now, and this happens in all sports, you get that replay and it gets, you know, legislated and built in. And pretty soon everybody, you know, when they're watching at home has a benefit of replay. Whereas, you know, at many levels of the game and, you know, you're doing the games of May 4th and 5th here. What's the name of that series that you're producing?
At which one? Are we talking about the summer?
The 15s?
Eagles, or are we talking about
the 15s?
Super regionals for club rugby?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, super regionals for club rugby. I mean, you know, you guys are going to have the ability to do instant replay on that. So people at home that might be watching or on YouTube are watching, they're going to be able to see, well, okay, that was a, you know, that was a high tackle. Why didn't it get called versus, you know, the one 5 minutes before? But, you know, the officials don't have that ability to go to TMO and you know, get into the weeds on that one. So I don't disagree with you. I think it's going to make it very difficult for officials.
You know, I feel like this is a topic we could debate, you know, obviously at a later time, but the piece I'll say is with the grumblings of certain players in the UK talking about, oh, we should get rid of forward replacements. Think about most, you know, a lot of rugby clubs, especially in Division 4 and Division 3, have a tough time fielding a full team of 15 plus a good side of reserves. So now think about it. You have, you know, maybe one forward reserve for the entire forwards and maybe two or three back reserves for the entire backs for some of these small rugby clubs. So think about, now they're going to be tired. Now they have to try and figure out this arbitrary sternum line. And how many times is the referee? And again, this isn't on the referee, but I'm just saying I could see, you know, a team being so tired and they're hitting above the sternum. And now the referee's going to blow the whistle every single time, elongating the time you're on the field. And the teams are just going to get more tired and more dehydrated. And that's going to cause what? More injuries in the club game. Again, not on the official. He's doing his job. She's doing his job. But again, unintended consequences. I wonder if that's going to be one. But I think that's something we're going to debate on a later show. But right now, we're going to be talking about the NCR Selection Saturday show that somebody, I think, is some cockamamie business called Next Level Rugby is producing a certain show is going to be on there. But real quick, before we get into that, let's get a word from our sponsors.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work and for those who will come after you. We promise it won't be easy, but we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
So, yeah, like we mentioned, we're going to kind of be getting into the NCR championships here in Selection Saturday and the whole gamut of what this entails. I think the first question, and Ryan's going to be talking a lot, so expect a lot of Ryan on screen here. I want to start with actually a question. Rob, you're muted. This is show 171. What the fuck are you doing?
Well, you muted me, and I didn't realize that they're champ.
You muted yourself.
Get your production britches on and quit.
Okay, yeah. Now I muted you. Now, but see, in all seriousness,
let me talk.
Go for it, Hammer. Go for it.
No. I was just going to say, I mean, one of the things we want to emphasize here is Ryan's in a unique position to talk about NCR and about Selection Saturday. He's going to have a show. He's producing a show on Saturday, in which they're going to go through the matchups in the first round of the NCR Sevens series that's going to be happening out in Washington, D.C., or in the Washington, D.C. area, actually in Maryland. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. And because of his unique ability to, you know, be producing this, to be involved in it, to be heavily involved with the people that are organizing it, we brought Ryan in to talk about it because college rugby is an important lifeblood part of our game.
Sure. And so, but I think the best way to set it up for people who are uninitiated or, you know, the collegiate landscape is a little bit confusing. So Ryan, if you could just go through a couple of the differences between CRAA and NCR real quick for us.
Well, I think that, like, you know, that's a hot topic for debate, right? CRAA and NCR. I want to first off say that both organizations do a great job in servicing, you know, the American rugby community, right? Like giving rugby players the opportunity to play the game and grow the game. The divide between CRA and NCR, very simply, like, you know, one is 15s focused, one is 15s and sevens focused and believes in seasonality. The CRA, you know, they're right now, we talked about earlier in the show, they're going through their 15s national championship playoff as we speak. And those teams that are playing in this playoff are the best teams in the country. They deserve to play in that bracket. They deserve to have their own competition. But that doesn't negate any of the other 15s that gets played in the fall via NCR, right? So NCR does their fall playoff, which we produce and I direct. That was done. We've had Brown won the one before last. Notre Dame College just won this. Michigan women have won it the last 2 years in a row. So that's what you got that going on. So it just comes down to a philosophy and what do you want to focus on, right? Like, and as I said, you know, NCR has like 75% of college teams in America, and CRA has more of the top end performing teams, if you will. I won't say the best teams, because there are amazing great varsity programs in NCR. They're just not, you wouldn't match them up against like a Navy, right? Like a Navy would probably handily beat everybody in NCR playing 15s, right? So that's primarily it. CRA, you don't see a focus on sevens anymore. But again, right, like NCR and Jeremy Treese is president there, has really put a focus on bringing back the collegiate rugby championship and bringing it back to its glory. It was and will be the premier college event in the country. It will probably move into being the premier USA, domestic talented USA event in the country. And you just look at it, 144 teams playing for the CRCs this year. I'm starting to get down a rabbit hole, so I'll dial it back into the differences in CRAA and NCR. And again, right, like I think both of them have their place. I think both of them are good. Do they need to merge into one? I don't think that's necessarily has to happen, but then again, I'm not in the politics of it. I don't care. Like, I'm just here. I don't care who's working with who's doing what. Like, I just want, you know, good, fair competition, and I want people to be able to play rugby and grow the game of rugby. And, you know, both of them are doing it. You know, obviously, you know, I work for NCR, so I've you know, I'm a big NCR fan. And I just like what they do, and I like the approach of the seasonality, having coached. But again, right, like if the season works for you, you want to play 15s at the highest level you can and develop players year round, then do that. You know what I mean? There is nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with playing sevens either.
Absolutely. No, you're right. It's just a difference in philosophy that I think would be, or to shorten it in one breath.
Yeah. So, and I want to talk about this. I think one of the challenges with NCR that just folks who are getting into rugby or don't know a lot about rugby, we want to demystify. And one of those is the various divisions. So, and Ryan, I'll have him jump in here in a minute, but there's several divisions. You got men's and women's, premier division, D1, D2, and small college. So these are the four divisions that will be competing in these tournaments. There are essentially eight tournaments that are going on within this competition between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here in a few weeks. And again, Ryan will get into the weeds a little bit on this, but it's going to be played at Maryland Sportsplex in D.C. and Boyd's, Maryland, same place that Old Glory D.C. plays. As a matter of fact, from what Intel tells us, that the folks at Old Glory were so impressed with the facility and everything that was going on there that they really worked to move their own facility out there. So it's a really good event, really good opportunity. Ryan, can you fill us in more on the differences between these divisions?
So you have Premier Division, right, which is the big show, right? Like, get into the stadium. You win and you're in the stadium, right? Like, it's 32 teams on the men's side, 16 on the women's team. It is, you have to qualify, or if you didn't get an automatic qualifier, gotten an at-large seed, which means you probably came in second place in that tournament, to get an invitation to the Premier Division. The Premier Division is truly open. Anybody can go in. You can be a small college team. You can be a D1 team. You can be a D2 team. Any division can go up and play in the Premier Division if you qualify and if you're good enough. Sevens being the great equalizer that it is in rugby, you can have, you know, a team that's not that great in 15s, or maybe be playing at a small college 15s level, but then can jump up and compete with the juggernauts, i.e. like a Babson, right? Like, Babson won small college last year. Now they're going to be one of the teams to beat, if not the team to beat, in this bracket coming up this year, right? And that's because sevens is that great equalizer. It is that great, you know, you can have 12 really good players. It's a lot harder to have 15 to realistically 23 really good players. So I think that's what makes it really exciting. D1, you're going to look across this D1 bracket and you're going to see a lot of big name schools, right? Big name schools that, like, you recognize and that are going to be good, that are good teams. In D2, it's just a different level of play. And then, you know, small college, I mean, you could have some of those small college teams like Babson was last year come up and beat D1, D2 teams and even into the prem, right? But what that comes down to is those divisions. It's based on your competitiveness as an organization and where you are, right? Like, it doesn't make sense to have somebody that's not that, you know, there is a talent gap, if you will. And that has to be addressed by having different divisions moving up and down in lateral movements. And so that's basically how it is, how it's set up across the tournament this year.
And could you talk just for a little bit about this idea of qualification and at-large bids? Because quite frankly, you know, one of the things that makes NCAA college basketball and, you know, that whole cottage industry of college sports exciting is the fact that, you know, obviously tournament winners of their, you know, respective, you know, conferences get that automatic bid. But then based upon strength of schedule and some other elements, we know in the college basketball, these at-large bids happen, you know, to where teams get in or don't get in, and there's kind of a selection process. So they've kind of mimicked that here, NCR has, with that whole experience, which is exciting, and which sounds a little bit like what your show is all about on Saturday.
Yeah, so Selection Saturday, really pumped to bring it back. You know, 2 years ago, we did it at Pat Clifton's studio, Gnarly Hustle. He's got a podcast studio set up in Raytown, Missouri. I'm flying out tomorrow for us to go shoot that. Dan Power, James Patterson coming in. You know, Dan Power, longtime voice, big rugby personality here in America. It's kind of stepped back for, you know, like done personal life outside of rugby. Like, I know it's sometimes hard for us to actually attend to our real life. We get sucked in so much by rugby, but excited to have him back in the fold hosting the show. You know, James Patterson, his best friend and, you know, partner who's done a lot of games for MLR before in the past. He'll be on. Pat, who is the tournament director and also one of the best brains and, you know, probably one of the best word poets, like, in the college rugby landscape. He'll be on hosting live in studio. We'll have John Broker, who will also be our lead announcer with Brianna Kim, who will be our lead announcer for the female, for the females. She'll be coming on. And then we'll get some Lance Kavanaugh on there as well, too. So, you know, we'll have a good show where, you know, the brackets have been settled. We know where teams are sitting, but we're basically going to chop it up. We're going to talk about it. We're going to preview. We're going to give you the insight into who we think, who our picks are for who could be the best teams, what matchups you should look out for, what bracket busters are out there, because you're going to have to ask me this question later, but there is a bracket challenge that everybody at home can participate in. Just really excited for that, especially seeing as though it's been like a long 2 to 3 months preparing for this because, you know, outside the show and just the CRCs as it is, it's 144 teams, 5 fields streaming all day long, over 3 days. And 4 of those fields don't have internet. They don't have power. They don't have elevation. So we're solving all those hurdles. We're doing all that completely in elements. But, you know, I think now we've, like I said, we've been building for the last 2 months for this. And now I'm hitting a plane tomorrow. It's starting to actually put all this plan into action. So getting excited. And, you know, the weather's turning nice here in Chicago. And it's time for some rugby. So getting excited for that.
Pat Clifton, the Joe Lenardi of rugby back bracketology there. You know, it's funny. You know, we do our draft show. You guys are doing your selection Saturday show for the NCRs and CRCs. And, you know, I think the more we make events out of it, like the big four leagues do, the more we put rugby out there and we get more impressions for the SOE and we get more eyes on it. But specifically on the CRCs, because, you know, sevens is a very easy game to maintain and very easy for colleges to maintain those teams at sevens, men's and women's. And, you know, again, women's 15s being Division I sport, Title IX helps that sport out immensely. But I just think it's a great thing that you guys are doing. I wish, you know, I had the time to jump in and help you with that because it is one of my favorite times of year when we go through bracketology and basketball. But again, I think it's going to be great and having everybody coming on, you know, prior to production to talk about bracket busters and who you think is going to win and putting it out to the fans on, you know, creating your own bracket is exactly what we need to push this thing forward.
Well, the big thing is that like, we just got to make this bigger than what it is currently. Right. And having the pregame shows and having the draft shows and having this stuff is putting it out there, people talking about it and doing it right. Like eventually the sport's going to take off and, you know, we're all going to get paid millions and millions of dollars to do what we've been doing for free, right? Like, you know, it's really about like making the experience for the kids, like number one, like awesome, right? Like that's when I go out and we put on a broadcast, like our number one objective is make the kids feel special, right? Like make them feel like this is awesome because it is. I mean, and it's only as awesome as we're going to make it. And, you know, with limited resources and, you know, the limited exposure, you know, we really got to put that out. Give NCR the credit. I mean, they're crushing it, man. The social media team we work with, Uncle Charlie that comes in, Jake and his crew does a great job. I mean, there's nothing else out there. There is nothing else out there in the college rugby space that is even remotely close to it where you can follow. And then, you know, like I can get on in the app that we're having, but that might be a talking point later. But, you know, it's just a lot of great things coming out. And, you know, the bigger and better we can make it and the more important we can make people feel, like, I think just the better the game is going to be.
Yeah, and I want to touch upon this before we get too deep into the weeds. But if anybody's interested in getting more information, go to collegiaterugbychampionships.com/qualified teams. You go to that site, and you're actually going to be able to identify, you know, even this comes out on Friday night, so just before Selection Saturday, you're going to see some of those teams that are that received automatic bids because they won a qualifying tournament. And you can check that out. Again, that's collegiaterugbychampionships.com/qualified teams. So speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about, I don't want to give away the farm here, because obviously you guys got to run a whole broadcast on Saturday for selections. But, you know, if you just want to touch upon men and women, you know, at each division, some teams that some people can look for, at least tune into and watch perform, because they are going to be one of the teams that will, you know, have a shot at being there at the end of the tournament.
Well, I think if we just look at this women's bracket right now, we've got 16 teams there. There's four teams that I'm really excited about. You know, Brown, reigning champions. You know, they lost Magdia Parker, so she won't be available. But you still got Akilah Caffrey, who made the most amazing break last year to set up Magdia Parker for the game-winning try for Brown to beat Army. You got Army on the other side of the bracket. You know, so without giving away too much, I mean, you know, there's some great stuff going on here. Like, you know, Penn State, always a perennial powerhouse at the CRC, has been playing there for as long as I can remember being on NBC. Navy, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame College, who's got a storyline, both the men and the women, as that program is essentially done. Notre Dame College closing down after this season. Their women's program has played Michigan the last 2 years in a row and unfortunately lost to Michigan in the 15s national championship. And then going with that small college, taking a step up to the Premier Division, you got Bowdoin College as well, too. You know, Martha Dane's coached, heavily involved in, like, the national level. Like, that team could be good. And then, you know, University of Michigan, AIC. I mean, there's just a lot of good teams. This women's bracket, I don't know. I mean, it could go anyway. I'm excited when you guys get to see what this bracket looks like and some of these matchups and the potential matchups to come. I mean, it's awesome in the women's division. And that's 16 teams again. And then, I mean, the men's division, you know, Wheeling.
I like Iowa Central. I mean, they compete with the big boys when you're talking about 15s. They go up against the Lifes. They go up against the Arc States, the, you know, Davenports. And they really compete at a very high level. So I expect them to be, you know, nipping at the heels of that championship match.
Yeah, on the men's side of the bracket, yeah. I mean, ICC, right? Like, I mean, that's a good program. Brent Nelson up there really done a good job putting that together. Yeah, I mean, think about this program. They get kids for 2 years, right? So you're not talking about, like, this kid's a senior. This kid's been here for 4 years. He's led our team. It's like you're two and done at ICC. So, like, your crop, like, you always got to be getting good talent, and you got to be getting, you know, the right talent, which seems to be, like, one of the big things.
And the great thing about watching them, folks, if you watch ICCC, is that some of those kids that Ryan's talking about, those two, and then they've got to move on to a four-year, you see those guys perform at, like, Lindenwood, at the Lifes, at the Davenports, at the Arc State. So a lot of those kids go on to those very successful D1A programs. So you can kind of pay attention and see which names are going to crop up, you know, in another 2 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on the men's side, the small college, you got the Friars out of Providence and the Spiders out of Richmond. I think, surprisingly, Richmond really be qualified right now. That doesn't mean they wouldn't have gotten an at-large bid, but to be qualified right now to play, I think they're going to have some movement. They're on a roll there. But if you go back to the women's small college real quick, you know, you want to talk about rivalry, because you have Niagara and Siena both qualifying on the women's side small college. And if you guys know anything about New York, Northeast collegiate sports, you know, historically, those are two MAC teams, right? They playing in hockey, playing in collegiate basketball. They're both in the MAC. So to have them both get automatic bids on the women's side is a big deal for New York collegiate sports. And Rob just fucking up our broadcast yet again. I did not touch your mic. Don't look at me.
Oh, that's true. Sorry. Missouri S&T is the one that's always interesting to me. I mean, it's Rolla, Missouri. It's about an hour and a half outside of St. Louis. And St. Louis has good rugby, but it's not like there's a lot of rugby out that way. And yet they seem to always be in the mix. So it's really good to see a team like that kind of, you know, out of the Midwest emerge as a potential, showstopper.
I mean, if anything, like, I just like to point out, like, just the breadth, which is also something that, like, I can't stand because it's five fields to manage, right? That we're sitting here, we're talking about the small college divisions, right? Like, we just blasted past all the premier. You say, hey, whatever. Yeah. These are teams that I like. that are in the small college. I'm going to pay attention to it. And that's great. I mean, that's awesome. Like, I mean, that's what, like, you really get the opportunity to see all ends of the spectrum here. You get to see, you know, teams from all over the country come together to play in this. And you know, and who knows? We'll see. I mean, I'm looking at those teams you're talking about, and there's some other good teams in that bracket that could really that should and could win it.
Yeah, and not for nothing, you also have some players that can emerge and you could see get drafted here. The draft will probably be moved to like September, I would guess. But don't forget, you know, Noah Brown, IU, NCR yep. guy. A couple of years ago, Andrew Guerra from Notre Dame, from Notre Dame College, coming out and being Rookie of the Year that year. Noah Brown put his hand up, man. You know, you could see him put his hand up this year to be in that spot. So, you know, there's a lot of good talent that you might see come around draft day that you wouldn't necessarily expect coming out of some of these smaller colleges. So that's a really positive thing when we're talking about, you know, the potential of those individuals now being there someplace in the draft come September.
And, you know, again, just a reminder, me and Rob are only, you know, right now looking at the qualified teams. Ginty did not give us the bracket because, you know, right. he thinks we'll leak it or something, you know, lips sink ships, according to him.
Yeah, if you guys were alive in World War II, we'd all be speaking German. So my grandmother.
Yeah, but this is the reason to watch the Selection Saturday shows. Right. You're going to see these brackets fill out, and you're going to see some names that we didn't talk about that, you know, are going to have their at-large bids. You know, things like that. Like, you know, my buddies from Iona. Let's see where they're going to be at.
Hey, their new sevens kit looks good, man. Their new sevens.
Yeah, their new sevens kit's hot.
Looks really good.
They went out and they went out to Fairfield for the Fairfield sevens recently. Killed it. Although their B side got squashed in the first round, but hey, it's all about the A squad when you're looking at CRC.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, you're going to see a lot of your favorite team across four divisions. You know, that's the thing. The 144 teams isn't a joke. The NCAA basketball Division I can take their 78 bullshit teams and toss them because we have double playing for collegiate rugby championships on the seven side.
So Ryan, let me ask you this, and this is a question that I ponder. So selections happen. The brackets are filled. The teams go out. They're in Maryland. They're competing. Is it one and done? Are they guaranteed a certain number of games? You know, because these teams are going to be putting out some money to travel, you know, and descend upon Boyd, Maryland in order to get these matches in. So how does it work for a team, you know, that goes out there and maybe underperforms or, you know, just, you know, perhaps moves up a division and has trouble tackling the big boys or girls?
So it works out really well. So there's a video that should be released pretty soon that Pat Clifton did that'll kind of explain this a little bit and good infographics and everything. So look out for that. But the short and simple is if you play in round one, you're in the cup round. Everyone starts, you're in the cup round. If you lose that first match, you drop down to the bowl rounds. Now, if you lose that match, you now drop down into the shield rounds. So you're guaranteed four games, and we're calling it a cascading bracket knockout rugby is what we're calling it, knockout rugby in a cascading bracket. If you win your first game and then lose your second game, now you're dropped into the plate. Right. So like your cups and your plates are in theory, your better teams. Then you go bowl and then you got shield. So that way you've got hardware across a couple different divisions. And you basically just follow that bracket wherever you go. NCR has also got like online, you can follow that too. They have the brackets and all be out there live. You can follow that. Live updates. You won't have live scores, but you will have scores within 5 minutes of a match completing. But you should already know the score because you'll have been watching on the Rugby Network, Caffeine TV, and also on YouTube. So that shouldn't be an issue. So that's basically how it works. So if you have an off day, you know, like then, you know, you still get to play. But that's the beauty of this as well, too, is that you have to win every game.
Yeah, there's a little bit of pressure reform.
Yeah, right. Like this is America, baby. We like winners. Yeah. I don't want to see losers hosting a trophy. So, I want to see somebody wins the whole way down. You beat everybody. You're the best. You didn't have an off moment. You got it done when the time counted.
We
got
to come up with a better nickname, though. You know what I mean? Because at least, you know, for collegiate basketball, you're going to the dance, right? Get your dancing shoes on. You know, getting your dancing cleats on doesn't sound as good, you know?
It was when we first did it and it came out and went to this format, the tournament was held in May, so it was May Madness, which is beautiful. But now that, like, to accommodate college students and their schedules and to get it done and, you know, to make sure that we're not interfering with their academic performance, you know, we moved it to last weekend in April, so it's no longer May Madness. But, you know, to your college basketball comparison, and some people might say, hey, this is like college basketball. That is by design, right? Like, we just got done watching. Go UConn, national champions, back-to-back. Basketball capital. I knew I didn't want to bring it up.
Scott, he's as bad as you are when Michigan wins anything.
Dude, it's right. And he'll be like, they won five games in football too. Oh my god.
Well, no, dude, we don't care about their football. Like, let's get it straight. New England is not a football. Like, we don't have football. We have basketball, and that is what we do, and we do it better than anybody.
And you got the main Black Bears in Division II.
So let me ask you this, Ryan. You talked about broadcast. Some of that's going to be on TRN, but from what we understand, you know, there's obviously five fields. Not everything can be on TRN. There's going to be another network that or streaming service is going to be put out on another platform. It's called Caffeine. Can you talk a little bit about that and the benefits of Caffeine and perhaps why this platform really makes sense for this particular competition?
Field, the stadium and Field 12, which are your premier games. And when you win, you will, if you're in small college, D1, D2, you will play up to it, right? Like, you want to play on that. Field 12 will be a fully produced field with two cameras. The stadium will have a full stadium production, right? It'll have everything going for it. I forgot the question. Where was I going there? Maybe the tackle height should have come down.
Folks, what you saw right there is a guy who is who's feeling the pressure of getting this whole thing produced on five fields in a short order. So
okay, so forgive him. The train's back. So Caffeine TV has come about pretty recently with NCR, and we started teaming up with them and putting their events on. And what Caffeine does is it basically syndicates out the stream across Barstool Sports, across other streaming services. They have a reach of 35 million people on their app, right? Which if you, that's 10% of America, like, is on Caffeine TV. So their whole thing is live content. There were a bunch of ESPN executives that left a while ago, created, you know, a new streaming platform and have really gone all in the live sports page, right? So you have the stadium and Field 12 will be on TRN and will be on Caffeine. TRN is great for the rugby audience, right? Like the rugby audience.
We know where to find it.
You know where to find it, exactly, right? But Caffeine hits everybody that doesn't know about TRN. It's also really good for TRN because it's a TRN-branded broadcast on Caffeine, right? So they're kind of like, they're getting the promotion for TRN. You know, you're getting the numbers. And like I was telling you earlier, we had a women's semifinal small college game garner 500,000 views. 500,000
views. Ryan, that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's pretty much on par with what the final was last year.
Yeah. I mean,
it's MLR final.
Absolutely. I mean, in its reach, and that's what it is, right? And so, I mean, it's having the ability to get the sport in front of eyeballs. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, that 500,000 plus that were on it watched the whole game because they didn't. And they didn't. And that 500,000 that watched MLR final didn't watch the whole game either. But what's important is that people are seeing it. They're recognizing this is happening. It looks good. Like, these are brands that are recognizable. And this is why the CRC in college rugby has a better chance of growing than MLR does, just because you have generational buy-in, right? Like, if I see a UConn logo, I'm going to pay attention. If you see a Michigan logo, you're going to pay attention, right? Like, that is something that, unfortunately, we don't have in the rugby community, but only in the college space. And that's just the reality. You know, that's the reality of the sports landscape.
And we know that demographic watches and consumes broadcast differently than old guys like me.
Mm-hmm. Also, and you want to talk about generational things. There's been a generational shift in how this tournament is played because of the brackets and also the style in which it's actually being viewed. Because if you go back to the old CRCs in Philly, you know, that I used to attend, it was more like a, you know, like Las Vegas Sevens with this party atmosphere. And don't get me wrong, the teams are playing to win. But now I feel like the teams are bringing their lunch pail and they're putting in work. And this is how you're getting the best teams to perform. And I think a little bit less of that party atmosphere actually helps put the sport out in a way we want to show it, right?
I'm gonna shoot you down on that one because we have beer gardens all over the place, right?
Well, that's like, that's great, yeah. But you know the CRCs was it was really you were going to a Dropkick Murphys concert and then hopefully staying conscious for the final,
Yeah, Paul, and like the thing about the CRCs, which was, I mean, it is 100% what the CRCs was, is where we want to be. Like it was on national television. It was a $300,000 broadcast. Like, I mean, it was an unreal broadcast. But I mean, you're also getting $1 million a year from Penn Mutual to sponsor it, right? Yeah. You're not getting that anymore. Like, there is no big budget like that, right? Like, but like the original CRCs was 100% marketed at what I spoke about earlier, which was that brand recognition. The best teams did not get in, right? Like AIC, when AIC was probably the best sevens team on the planet in 2016, they would not let AIC play in that tournament because they were not a big enough brand. Like they just said, like, no, we'll take Michigan State with a bunch of kids that don't know how to play sevens, get crushed, but like we understand the Michigan State thing. So it's like, it is a kind of a merging of the two, right? Like, we want to get back to that party atmosphere, that festival. Like, I want you to come and I don't want you to get drunk and obnoxious, but I want you to have a good time. I want you to eat good food. I want you to have good drink. And I want you to watch great rugby. The two can go together. We do not have to separate that from each other because no other sport separates it. We're not running away. We are not running away from some stigma. And I want to
I'm not saying that. I'm saying what I'm saying is just having a little bit more of that lunch pail professional attitude gives it a little more that I think people will watch that haven't watched it before. Like sometimes I feel like they see, the Las Vegas sevens and they're like, look at these frigging people, how do we take them seriously? And those are the same fans that look at the NFL tailgaters that paint their face and say the same thing. Right.
But so, wouldn't you kill to have that Vegas crowd again? Like, let's be honest here. You would kill to have that Vegas crowd. Cause I've been to LA and LA is a flop. It's a
compared to
Vegas Sevens. Like Vegas Sevens was 30,000 people in that stadium. And when USA won it back to back, it was raucous. That was the height of American rugby. Like it was. And unfortunately, we've gotten away from that. So it's like, I don't mean to shoot your point down, but I do agree with what you're saying, right? The professionalism of just the where the programs and the schools and the teams and the kids have taken it, right?
Yeah.
Like it does make a big difference.
Right? I feel they're taking it. Not like I said, not that they weren't trying to win, but they're taking it a little more seriously, and the competitiveness has definitely been ratcheted up a notch. And for those of you that don't know, because AIC is such a small school, American International College, pretty much what that is. And the only reason I know because they were
stand on that 2016 team is the best collegiate sevens team I'd ever seen.
Again, another MAC Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference team in all other sports.
Yeah,
because the MAC rules. Love my mid majors. Go Gales. But, I think you're right. But I think we kind of, this topic is done and dusted until we get to see you and Pat on the show. But before we go out, we're going to give you our little Super Brew video while Rob figures out who won Super Brew this week, because I don't think he wrote it down.
I did write it down, but just for you folks that are out there watching, check out Shop MLR. The merch is dropping almost every day, different teams. I know LA has a ton of merch that dropped. New England has some great merch. Sabercats, the Hounds have some good merch on there. So please check it out. They're great partners of ours. They really do a great job. And I'm telling you what, you order something and I've got it. I'm in Illinois, they're in Nevada, and I've gotten it within 2 days in time for the weekend's matches. But last week's Super Brew winner, week 7, Ross Parlon. He's a New England Free Jacks fan. He's won a $25 gift coupon. And of course, they have some great Free Jacks merch that he can avail himself of. So love to see it. Again, jump in, Super Brew. And, even if you can't win at the end because we're in through 7 weeks, you still can win a $25 gift coupon each week to get yourself some fabulous merch. With that, though, we want to get into one other segment, do we not, boys?
The Rugby Rants Lock of the Week.
Bam. There it
now,
is.
Now, hold on. I got a professional question for Ginty. Who had the better voiceover, Ty with the Shop MLR or me with the Lock of the Week?
I mean, dude, it's got to be the big guy.
Like, first of all, it wasn't the big guy. That was me.
No, that was me.
It was me. I made that bit.
Dude, I did the voiceover, you bum.
No. Wrong.
But real quick, wrong. Before we get into our Lock of the Week, I got to be honest. Alex and Will over at the Rugby Rundown, they still haven't put their money with their mouth. They got to put their money where their mouth is and join our Super Brew contest because they put out their picks every week, but they're not really putting out their picks because they just kind of go opposite each other. So, you know, Corbs and Hooli, let's get on the Subaru contest. But anyway, let's talk about the Lock of the Week. Rob, who do you have?
Do me a favor. Let's run down for folks what the matchups of the week are. So I'll run down real quick. We got New England playing host to Seattle, NOLA playing host to Miami, Old Glory playing host to Houston, San Diego playing host to Utah, and Chicago playing host to LA. So those are the five matches on the weekend. What am I picking? I'm going out on a limb. I think New England's going to win. They're the Lock of the Week. As much as it pains me to say so, their defense is absolutely stout. In spite of the fact that Seattle is playing some really good rugby right now, I just don't think they're going to be able to hold steady against New England. So they got my Lock of the Week. I think it's going to be a 5-point margin.
Now we're putting Ryan on the spot because we forgot to tell him he has to pick a match. Ryan, who's your Lock of the Week?
I mean, I'm looking up the score real quick to see who's even playing this week and what's going on.
Yeah, we got Seattle at New England. We have Miami at New Orleans. We have Houston at Old Glory. We have LA at Chicago and then Utah at San Diego.
I've got San Diego beating Utah. I'll take the easy one out. Like San Diego is going to come out. I don't think they haven't looked as impressive, obviously, as they looked last year. But I still think that they're going to look pretty good. I mean, the Utah team, you know, I think they're struggling a little bit. I've got San Diego on lock.
Gotcha. Listen, I think that's a good pick. You know, Utah's unfortunate loss last week to Dallas, I think kind of proves my point from a couple episodes ago where they're just, for some reason, when they're outside of Zion Bank Stadium in Utah, they leave a little bit to be desired. So my lock of the week, you know, I do think New Orleans is going to bounce back from that terrible second half they had against San Diego. So I'm going to go with New Orleans -3 at home. I'm really just giving them the advantage of being at home. You know, Sharks coming off a bye week, NOLA coming off a match where, you know, unfortunately they got shut out or I think they scored 3 points in the second half, but essentially they got shut out. To lose a match against a juggernaut in the West, I think they're going to come back and try and punch Miami in the mouth. I'll go NOLA -3. So, anyway, fellas, I think we did well this week. A little bit long, but that's a good thing. You know, with the not a lot of knowledge of Ginty, him telling me I'm stupid for my opinions, things like that. No, but I think we went over everything we needed to go over to give the casual fan a little bit deeper dive into.
We forgot one thing though, Scott. Did we talk about where they can find the Selection Saturday show on Saturday?
Oh,
we did not. We did not.
That's so kind of an important factor.
Yeah. So the Selection Saturday show will be live on the Rugby Network. You can also catch it on Caffeine TV. But check it out on the Rugby Network. If you haven't downloaded the app, make sure that you go and download the app because you can catch all your rugby stuff there for free. That's all your American rugby content for free on the Rugby Network. We'll be going off live 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The brackets will go live after that. So we didn't really talk about this too much, but fill out your bracket. There is a competition, a challenge. You can go up against everybody. Pick your own bracket, 32 teams. On the men's side, 16 on the women's. And if you're a winner, well, you just get bragging rights and say that you get something that nobody else could pick. But that's it. Check that out. And if you're not watching, you're wrong.
Awesome. Gotta love it. Again, super stoked for Selection Saturday. And also check out the NCR app. If for some reason you can't watch the matches live, Caffeine TV, TRN, I think there'll be some feeds on YouTube. On some of the smaller places, some of the smaller fields, some of the small town schools. So there's going to be content throughout that whole weekend of the tournaments. But again, if you can't watch them, check out the NCR app and they got your brackets, they got your team names. where they got everything you need. And Ryan giving us the old Giltini's merch here. I have my shirt somewhere. I tucked a bunch of stuff away. But actually, I think if you go to Rugby Now, again, you know, our partner here, they still have Giltini's merch.
That's where I got this ball. I got this ball, some sweet Austin Gilgroni stuff. You know, go get New York Iron Workers, Toronto, get all the teams that have come and gone, get their merch before it's it doesn't exist anymore. And you look so cool when you're wearing teams from MLR that don't exist anymore. I'm telling you, you look really cool doing it. You do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Gotta love it, guys. But episode 171 is done and dusted, and we'll catch Ginty and Pat and the rest of the crew over at their selection Saturday. And we'll see you guys at the next.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.